Just the other evening, as I sat at home watching TV, I was in the mood for maybe a comedy, something funny, something light. As I flipped through the channels, pushing the buttons on the remote control, I came across the TBN, the Trinity Broadcasting Network. I said to myself, well, this is always good for a laugh, so I watched. And there was plenty of comedy, lots of things to laugh at, right up until the time that I realized that there's a lot of people that take those folks seriously. Man, that's enough to make you cry. This is the Wonderful Grace Radio Broadcast.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the Master's grace of Jesus.
And an excellent Sunday morning to each and every one of you. My name, Mark Mumaw, pastor of the Master Builder Grace Assembly. We're located at 313 South Jefferson Street in downtown Dayton, Ohio. We meet each and every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock for teaching, 11 o'clock for the preaching service, each and every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for Bible study. Right now we are in the book of Titus doing a verse-by-verse Bible study. We meet in the AFL-CWA Union Hall building. There's parking right next door, free of charge, off-street, safe and secure. You come in the front door and find us in the auditorium, where you will find tables and chairs that you can bring your Bible, you can take notes, spread out, write down anything you want, follow along in the lesson, and prove to yourself that rightly dividing the word of truth is in fact the way that God intended us to understand our Bible. Dispensational understanding, realizing that God has not at all times said the same thing to all people. That is the perspective that we use when we come to our King James Bible, God's perfectly preserved word. I get emails from the website www.wonderfulgrace.org. People engage themselves and avail themselves of the online studies. Well, over 150 hours of online studies that you can download to your computer or your MP3 player. I have a note here that here's someone who would be very interested in receiving study notes for the lessons that we teach on Pal Talk. That is an internet chat room network that you can get instructions for from the audio page on the website. You can attend the services of the Master Builder Grace Assembly online. You don't even have to show up. You can avail yourself of that by going to the website. Here's another one. I enjoy your online studies very, very much. They have been so much help to me in my search for the truth. Here's another one suggesting a different Bible study, a particular topic of how to study the Bible. A good suggestion. I think I will take him up on that, and that will be an upcoming study. Go to the website, www.wonderfulgrace.org, and find out what the buzz is all about. We'll get started in just a moment.
Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus, wonderful name of Jesus. Magnify His holy name.
Now, it just wouldn't be right if I didn't tell you what I saw on TBN. Here's Paul and Jan. You know them. Paul and Jan Krausch, owners and founders of the Trinity Broadcasting Network. Goodness, Jan's hair seems to be getting larger with almost every passing day. With every year that she ages, another pound of makeup seems to make its way onto her face. If a picture is worth a thousand words, and I suppose it is, then just a picture of Jan Krausch would be a perfect lesson in vanity, would it not? Perfect example of walking in the flesh and not in the spirit. Meanwhile, they are promoting a CD called The Privileged Planet, which is the search for purpose in the universe. My friends, God gives us purpose. He gives us His purpose, and we are to engage in His will, which puts us into the engaging of his purpose, that outlined in the Bible. Frederick K.C. Price, telling us that it's okay if you don't believe in the Garden of Eden story. You don't believe that Adam and Eve were actual people and that God actually created them. That would go right along with Paul and Jan's CD, which teaches intelligent design rather than God's literal six-day creation. Isn't that interesting when Kansas City Price talks about preaching the importance of knowledge? And he disregards and denies the God-given knowledge of the Bible. Here comes Doctor, and I use that phrase lightly. I'm sure it's not an earned degree title, but Dr. Jeremiah Cummings, an apostolic preacher, and he has the Islamic nations, the Muslim nations, coming into God's kingdom as a real religion, not as a blasphemy, not as idol worship, but rather as worshiping God. Isn't that funny? And that was funny right up until the time that I turned on the Jack Van Impe show. And Jack Van Impe, he also seems to be venerating Islam these days. There is no difference, apparently, between God and Allah. The Muslim nations, they worship the same God as we do. They just call him by a different name. By the way, this broadcast is being made prior to Jack and Rexella and their next broadcast. I am most certain. I got a word. It wasn't from God, as Jack claims to have, but I got a word, and it came from a little bit of experience and a whole lot of common sense that says Rexella is going to hold up a headline about the earthquake that just happened in Peru, and Jack is going to try to convince you that that is a sign of the times, that prophecy is being fulfilled. Isn't that a funny thing that they use fear to try to get you to send money to them? Here comes the Dutch Catholic Bishop Tiny Muskens. And old Tiny, he is in the news today, and a spokesman for the Council on American Islamic Relations, Islamic Civil Liberties and Advocacy Group, they back the idea of calling God Allah. And this Catholic bishop, he says it is a great thing to call God Allah. Let's use the name of Allah when we pray. I think it will open up doors, said Jahan Hashim, a spokesman for a group that represents more than 400,000 Muslim Americans in the Chicago area. Language, and I quote, is a man-made limitation. My friends, I can read in Genesis chapter 11, verse 9, where God confounded the languages of man, that at the Tower of Babel. It is not a man-made limitation. It's a limitation that God has placed on us. God's name, God has a lot of names. None of them is Allah. Here comes Joel Osteen. Now, old Joe, he can fill a stadium larger than Jesus could have filled, and I suppose you might be saying to yourself, well, what are you doing talking about Joel Osteen? Your audience isn't nearly as big, you're not nearly as good-looking, and you don't speak nearly as well as Joel. But Joel's topic was getting God's favor, and that we should expect good things from God, and God is looking down on you continuously, trying to get you, for instance, the best parking spot in the mall. He wants to get you the best steak in the steakhouse, the one with the least amount of gristle in it. And if you only declare that you're going to get God's favor, God is going to watch your back. Joel, he was bragging about how he was able to buy a $300,000 house for only $150,000, that because the seller had it on the market for so long he became desperate and was willing to sell it at any price. But that wasn't the reason why. It was because God was looking out for old Joel's back. Well, he has a book out, Become a Better You, and that will explain how you can get good deals on cars, houses, and steaks, the best parking space in the mall, all those things. things, might I suggest to you that Joel would be much better off as a motivational speaker, sort of the Zig Ziglar type of guy, rather than a preacher of God's Word, because he never uses the Word of God. I read in Colossians chapter 1:9 where the Apostle Paul prays that since the day he heard it, he does not cease to pray for you, to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. You see, God is not concerned about where you park. God doesn't care about what kind of car you drive. He doesn't care where you live, and he's certainly not working to be your real estate agent. You need to get into the Bible and learn a few things. Meanwhile, might I suggest to you that Dr. Jeremiah Cummings, Jack Van Impe, and the Catholic bishop, who all say that Allah is okay, that all religions are the same, and whatever you believe is just fine with God, might I suggest to you that you're going to hear more and more of that as Muslim nations, as radical Islam terrorists become more and more prevalent throughout the world? And the desperation of those who live in non-terrorist nations now suddenly start to realize that terrorism is real and can affect their very neighborhoods, they're going to be willing to do almost anything to placate the Muslims. My friends, you're going to hear more and more as days go on about how Christianity and Islam should merge together, and that really, they're all the same anyway. My name, Mark Mumaw, bringing you God's biblical truth, no matter how much it hurts. This is the Wonderful Grace radio broadcast. Have you figured out that not everything in your Bible seems to make sense? You want to do right. You want to be a faithful steward of the mysteries of God. But the mysteries seem to be just that, still a mystery. You already know that a person is justified. A soul is saved, Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. But there are still things in your Bible that bother you. We read in Romans chapter 5:1, how that we are justified by faith, and you're at peace with God. But then the confusion starts to set in when you read in James 2:24, when James says that justification is a product of works, and not faith alone. You read in your Bible that Paul says in Romans chapter 4, verse 5, how that Abraham was justified because he believed God and his faith was counted for righteousness, but then the confusion grows when James tells you in chapter 2, verse 21, that Abraham was justified by works when he offered Isaac upon the altar. You've been wanting to tell everyone you know about the love of Jesus and how he died on Calvary's cross for the forgiveness of all our sins, but you are afraid. Afraid because you've read Mark chapter 16, verse 17, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And you already know that the signs of Mark chapter 16 aren't following you, and now you're afraid that maybe you don't really believe. Pentecostal charismatic preacher told you that the reason you didn't talk in tongues, the reason you didn't get a healing, was that your faith is weak and you still have secret sin in your life. One church will tell you that asking Jesus into your heart is the plan of salvation. One says you need to make Jesus Lord of your life. Yet another will have you say a prayer like, "Oh Jesus, I am a sinner. Please save me. I'm trusting you to get me to heaven. Amen." Still another tells you that you're not saved by faith alone, but rather, Jesus did his part, now you need to do yours. They tell you that Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation, and then they deny the power, insisting that you're not saved until you get water baptized. Then come the questions. How to baptize? Should it be by immersion? Should it be by pouring? Should it be by sprinkling in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, or in the name of Jesus? Does the baptism at one church get you to heaven while the baptism at another has no effect at all? Still, Others will tell you that salvation is a product of believing the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary's cross, but then you cannot so much as sing one note in the choir or teach one verse in Sunday school until you have been water baptized. Isn't it funny how they never stop you from putting the envelope into the collection plate even when you have not been water baptized? How is a soul saved? Do we have security of salvation, not able to lose it even if we sin? Do we really need to constantly ask Jesus for his forgiveness for our sins when that was accomplished by Jesus' death? Are we going to heaven or to the land of Jordan? What is the bride of Christ? Are miracles and healings for the church today? Has all prophecy been fulfilled? Will there really be a 7-year tribulation with an Antichrist? And will we have to go through it? What is the rapture? Will you be left behind or meet the Lord in the air? When will this happen? How does prayer work? Can we really ask God for material blessings and expect to receive them? Are we supposed to tithe or give as we purpose in our hearts? Will we lose our salvation if we miss a church service? What is the will of God? What is God's will for our lives? Why does God allow sin in the world? And why did God create the devil only to let him tempt man to sin? All these and many more Bible questions can be answered by learning how to 2 Timothy 2:15 rightly divide a Bible you can trust and believe. You can be certain that God has perfectly preserved His Word in the English language that you can speak and understand. You need not learn Greek. You need not learn Hebrew or Aramaic languages. You need not attend seminary for years upon years. You can understand what God has said to all that would listen throughout the ages. You can come to know the peace of God that is the full assurance of your soul's salvation and full assurance of what God is doing yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and exactly how you fit in the picture. The answer that you're looking for is Mid-Acts Pauline Dispensational Right Division of a King James Bible. Only by being able to correctly identify and know what doctrines are for you today will you ever be able to, 1 Timothy 2:4, come unto the knowledge of the truth and the peace of mind that God wants you to have. That is exactly what is taught at the Master Builder Grace Assembly, 313 South Jefferson Street in downtown Dayton, Ohio. You will not be embarrassed in front of the congregation. You will not be asked to get up in front of everyone and introduce yourself. I'm not interested in making a spectacle of you, but rather making a saint, an ambassador of God's third heaven, a soldier of the cross, equipped to tackle everything that life and the devil have to throw at you. At the Master Builder Grace Assembly, you will be welcomed, and welcome to come and go as you please. You will not be asked to sign up for anything, give anything, say or do anything. All I ask is that you give us a try. You might just be pleasantly surprised to find a friendly atmosphere. Of course, not so friendly that we're going to want to move into your living room with you or have you make a lifelong commitment. When you attend the Master Builder Grace Assembly, bring your Bible or use one of ours. I would never ask you to believe anything I say without first checking it out for yourself in the Bible, our final authority. When you attend the Master Builder Grace Assembly, prepare to hear things that you have never been taught in any other church at any other time. Things that may seem foreign or strange or just downright wrong. Again, don't believe me. Believe your Bible. If you're still afraid to attend the Master Builder Grace Assembly in person, try attending via the internet at www.wonderfulgrace.org. There you will find instruction on how you can attend our live services via the internet each and every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for teaching, 11 a.m. for the preaching service, and each Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for Bible study. We hope to see you soon at the Master Builder Grace Assembly. Now, here's what I know when I hear this convoluted, watered-down teaching that really isn't biblical, coming from people that claim to be Bible teachers. First of all, the Word of God, they don't really believe it, do they? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 tells us that the Word of God, which is in truth the Word of God, worketh effectually. in them that believe that very word of God. So if you have a Bible that you don't believe, might I suggest that you get one that you do? You say, where do I find that? Any Dollar General store. For $1 plus tax, you can pick up God's perfectly preserved word without one error in it, that the authorized King James Bible. The other reason that might be a motivational factor for teaching just any old thing, any old way to any old buddy that will want to listen would be 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, where we find out that the love of money is the root of all evil, while some have coveted after they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Those many sorrows are yet to be played out, and yet they will be an eternity of sorrow that at the judgment seat of Christ. You know, it's so difficult for an individual who is mired in the things of this world, mired in materialism, to give a whole lot of heed, to give much credence to biblical teaching such as I give you today. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 9 tells us that they that will be rich, they fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. No doubt, it is a right and necessary thing that each of us be responsible, responsible citizens, responsible parents, responsible individuals, and that we are in fact responsible to support ourselves that materially. We are to go out and earn a living. We're not to live off the common pot of gold, as it might be, the welfare system. We're not to depend on others for our material goods. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, for even when we were with you this we commanded you that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. We all know some of those, do we not? They're generally the ones engaged in watching Jerry Springer all day long. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But even as we go about earning a living, even as we go about the acquisition of money so that we can in fact supply our material needs, we're not to be consumed by the material world. There is so much to be consumed with. iPods, iPhones, technology galore, PlayStations, 360, Xboxes, 180, whatever they might be. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, we find that we are not to walk in the flesh, but rather walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You see, materialistic goods and the acquisition of them becomes less and less important as God and the Lord Jesus Christ become more a factor, more a controlling influence in your life. Your spiritual life, it grows, and the flesh takes second fiddle. It takes a back seat to the importance of spiritual edification. We then are to avoid this never-ending cycle of trying to keep up with the Joneses. I gave up keeping up with the Joneses a long time ago because I realized that the Joneses generally have a whole lot more money than I do, and I just am not motivated enough to acquire enough to keep up with the Joneses. But nevertheless, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 tells us, thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness, rather than following after the acquisition of the almighty buck. That preacher that tells you that God wants you to fulfill all the material desires and lusts of your heart, well, he's probably being just a little bit less than completely honest when he tells you that, because I read in 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 3, that if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, into the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof come envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. I wonder how many of us would really be content with enough to eat and a home to live in, that and that alone. Our purpose in life should not be the acquiring of goods and services and the consuming of products, but rather engaging ourselves in this spiritual battle that goes about raging whether you engage yourself or not. Even that spiritual battle that's brought right into your living room via the television set. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, we are to fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Not such a good profession when everything concerning your life is always engaged in getting something better than that which the neighbor has. You see, the installation of biblical doctrine. Biblical doctrine rightly divided into the inner man will strengthen your inner man that no matter what happens, whether it be like the recent stock market decline, like the recent house foreclosures, maybe a job loss in your life, marital problems, money problems, health problems, all things common to all of us, you then are able to cope because your inner man has been built up, has been edified, has been strengthened, and you're still able to flourish having that peace of God that comes from real biblical understanding that God has not promised you the best parking space at the mall. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, Paul tells us that, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am wherewith to be content. I know how to be abased. That would be at the bottom of the economic scale. And I know how to abound. That would be up there at the top of the economic scale. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So whatever state you were to find yourself in, maybe things are going great this week, next week not so good. The stock market crashes, your wealth declines, your retirement fund, you find out that the company that you used to work for is no longer going to fund it. You need to be strengthened by biblical doctrine in the inner man so that when problems come about, you can deal with them on a spiritually enlightened level. This is a hard message. I know it is. It's a hard saying compared to the name it and claim it, the blab it and grab it preaching that you hear today from so many preachers. But Galatians chapter 4, verse 16 tells me that, am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? Well, you might not like it, but I'm still going to tell you the truth. We should not be concerned about God getting us a good deal on our house, but rather that we have a good deal of Bible doctrine installed and at the ready for those times when life throws curveballs at us. We know that God shall supply all our need, not according to our desires, but according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, we spend considerable time trying to enrich our bank accounts while God wants us to be spiritually enriched. It's a shameful thing to have sat in the church pew for years and be as ill-equipped to handle life's problems as the first day you walked in. 1 Corinthians 15:34 says, "Awake to righteousness and sin not, and for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." You know, your Christianity is not going to succeed on the basis of ignorance, and you need to study to show yourself approved unto God, 2 Timothy 2:15. I would encourage you to get into your Bible, to put God first, to set your sights on things above and not on the temporary things of this earth. My name, Mark Mumaw, pastor of the Master Builder Grace Assembly, 313 South Jefferson Street, downtown Dayton. We meet each and every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock for teaching, 11 for preaching, Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for Bible study. I invite you to show up either in person or via the internet. Check out the website, www.wonderfulgrace.org, wonderfulgrace.org. Thank you for listening.